Good to see you today. Welcome you here as we appreciate visitors that might be among us. We're thankful for your presence and especially to see the brethren here and to be a part of being able to worship together. We're thankful to God and pray that our worship will honor Him as we've rightly prayed. This is the Lord's day and He is deserving of our honor and our consideration in all things as we worship Him as according to His Word and as we express our faith and thankfulness to Him. Not only this day, but every day of our lives. We are going to discuss some today about a mother's love. And yes, it's Mother's Day, and so Rick's used my introduction, so I'm not sure what to say now. Thanks, Rick, for that. It is our intent to understand, and I think that what we know is that honoring mothers and motherhood is something that should happen every day of our lives. I'm reminded and realize that for some of us, our mothers have passed on, and what we have today or any day are the memories of those times and opportunities. I don't use a lot of personal illustrations, but I'm going to use one. Debbie made a pound cake last night, and she used my mother's recipe. Now, and afterwards, she said, "Well, how was that?" I said, "It was good. It was really good." And it is. But it was a little lighter than my mother made. Yeah, you know, I'm the critic, I guess. But what I was thinking about is she let me lick the batter. You know, she let me lick the paddle, you know, on the batter, because that's what Mom always did. She said, "Here." I said, "Well, there's a taste from the past." And some of us just have memories like those because our moms have passed on. And so we're thankful for them. Know that that's the way of all the earth. We all go that way from one time to or another. And so we cherish those kinds of memories. I understand and know that there are some here whose mothers are not what they ought to be. And we are understanding of that, sympathetic toward that. Others are here this morning who are first-time moms and grandmoms, for that matter. And we are respectful of that and know that you have before you a lifetime of motherhood. And we hope that what we have to say will be helpful today. Because you see, on the Lord's Day, and as we think about mothers a little while today, it is from God's Word that we want to do it. We understand that really by honoring mothers and by being the kind of mothers God wants us to be, that we are really honoring God. God is the one who gave us mothers when He created woman and presented her to the man and established marriage. He told them to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, fill up the earth. God gave us mothers. He gave us motherhood. And so as we reflect upon some things about mothers this morning, we want to remember and know that what we're talking about is what God has said about these great people in our lives, about this great opportunity that you have if you are a mother or a grandmother, and the opportunities that we have having all of us have a mother and what God expects of us in that light. It's been said that a mother's love is instinctual, unconditional, and forever. I take some exception with that statement because it's not necessarily instinctual. And unfortunately, not always forever. A few years back, the reference that I found was that every year in America, about 200 mothers murder their children. That's not instinctual or unconditional or forever. We're thankful that the vast majority do not do that, but there's many, many more who fail to be the kind of mothers God wants them to be. Surely the abortion travesty, not only in our country but around the world, is indicative of the fact that a mother's love is not necessarily instinctual, not necessarily forever or unconditional. Just this last week, a video appeared on the internet titled "Emily's Abortion Video." A 25-year-old woman named Emily Letts works as an abortion counselor in the Cherry Hill, New Jersey Women's Center. And she videoed her decision and her process of having an abortion, even videoed when the abortion was occurring. And she did it as a, quote, positive abortion story, she said. And in summing it up, she said, and I've viewed it, it's not a graphic video, but it does show her face and while even this is going on, and her expressions and such. She said in conclusion, quote, it was right for me and no one else. Well, I know one person it wasn't right for, and that was her baby. Far, far too many unnatural things happening in our country in the name of rights and self-interest. Thankfully, as we said, though, most mothers, even with that, most mothers at least would not dream of killing their children. But we want to note what the Bible says, and that is that motherhood really is something that, and a mother's love, in fact, in some very real ways, must be taught and must be learned. I mean no disrespect to you as a mother if you say, well, I just love my child naturally. Well, I understand that. But understand, please, with me that God says there are some things that must be learned as a mother and a mother's love. In Titus 2 and verse 4, it says to older women that they are to be teaching good things to the younger women. And among them, it says, admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. So in instruction and in admonition, there are things to be learned about loving your children, mothers. And it is a very unwise woman who would object and say, there's nothing that I can learn as a mother. Certainly that would be unwise. And it would equally be unwise as children to say, there's nothing I can learn about how to honor my mother or how to be better at doing those very things. That's what we hope to address a little bit this morning. One person said a mother loves her children when they deserve to be loved the least. A mother loves her children when they least deserve to be loved is the actual quotation. And not unlike God's love for us. For you see, God loves us when we are least likely to be loved. When we are crying out, crucify Him! Crucify Him! God is loving us even still. And even when we as children resist, refuse, and hurt our mothers, if they are interested in God, if they're interested in love, they continue to love. And what we were trying to say is we need to understand the value of a mother's love. Because the value of a mother's love is not measured in currency. It's measured in her moral character and that which she imparts to us as children. It's measured in her wisdom and that which she imparts to us. It is measured in the training that she gives her children. You see, in Proverbs 31, it is the worthy woman who is honored in that passage because she, as you note in it, let me get back there with you, Proverbs 31, she brings into her home strength and honor and wisdom and kindness and watchfulness and energy devoted to her family, devoted to her husband and her children. She brings a fear of the Lord. Verse 30, and bears good fruit that has an impact upon the next generation as a soul is as souls are at her disposal, in her arms, that are immortal, that will not die, that will live on forever. And she values and understands that, and so addresses herself as a mother and those responsibilities as God is outlined. In Proverbs 6, note that Solomon here speaks to this when he says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is the lamp, and the law light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. Here we have not only the words of the father, but especially our thought here is to the words of the mother are to be put around our neck, are not to be forsaken. They are we are to bind them on our heart so that they will lead us, they will keep us, they will speak to us. Mothers, you may or may not know or appreciate that your words are going to be heard by your children long after you speak them. I can still remember my mother speaking to me. I think each one of us can in some way or the other. And so we as children are to appreciate the teaching that is right before God, that will keep us and lead us and speak to us upright things and protect us from sin. These are among the things that help us value motherhood and set a course of, because there are some in this audience this morning who will one day become mothers. And to commit yourself to be of this sort of mother is again at the heart of faith that you have in Almighty God. Let's talk about a mother's love for a moment from this point of view. A mother, God has ordained, protects her children. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, is a good illustration of a mother's love that protects her son and her child. And Jochebed protected her son by literally giving him up. Literally. They were under threat from the king that child was supposed to have been killed at birth. The midwives did not carry out this commandment, and they were blessed. But this child is hidden for 3 months until he cannot be hidden any longer. And so his mother makes this little basket, pitches it so it will be watertight, puts it in the river with the child in it. His sister, Miriam, older sister, is watching from a distance to see what would become of the child. No doubt at the instruction of the mother. The mother literally gives him up in that moment. Now think about that, mother. To literally say, for the sake of the life of my child, I am putting him in this basket, and I don't know what's going to become of him, but at least he's going to have a chance to live. Otherwise, the threat is so great, he will likely die. Well, as God would have it, the child is found by Pharaoh's daughter, and you know the rest of that story. Moses means drawn. He was drawn out of the water. And Miriam offers to find a woman to feed the child, to care for the child. And of course, Jochebed becomes that very one. His mother is the one who then is able to raise her child as Pharaoh's daughter. And so God uses that opportunity with a godly woman, Jochebed, who by faith did this. Hebrews 11:23. This was faith at work, protecting her child, and so providing a protection that would bring great blessing. Now, there are ways in which mothers protect their children that we would think are rather mundane, but they're essential. When they're hungry, they feed them. That's essential. But mothers need to be protecting their children from ignorance with the truth of God. There is so much darkness in ignorance and doubt in the world. The godly mother is going to protect her child by teaching him or her truth, the truth that comes from Almighty God. She's aware of this. She knows this. She seeks to protect that child from selfishness by being charitable herself, by teaching charity, teaching generosity, by teaching faith. Faith that comes from the Word of God. It comes from a trust in Almighty God. These are among the things that no doubt she had opportunity to teach her child. You as a mother have an opportunity to teach your child and children. These are among the reasons that we have reason to honor our mothers every day that we have on this earth. Not just on Mother's Day, but may I add, that doesn't mean you ignore Mother's Day either. Let me tell you. Don't ignore it, but understand this is the constant attitude of our lives to want to give honor to those who would give such protection to us. In Proverbs 31, then, in verse 15, and in that same text that we were reading from, just note some of this in this woman, this worthy woman. She arises, it says she rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So here is her industry, her energy, her activities of provision that would protect them from hunger and harm. In 19, she stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Here is a woman who has provided clothes, made clothes, and also helps others in their time of need. This is a worthy woman. This is a worthy mother, worthy of honor, worthy of understanding that she has a duty of protecting her house, providing such things. And we've already noted verses 25 through 28 and the good strength and honor. You see, her strength, her honor, her wisdom, her kindness watches over the ways of her house and so provides this kind of protection for her children. The Bible says that the wife, the woman, is the manager of the house. House despot is how we would translate it. I can't say the Greek word, but that's literally what it means. That's the two words put together in 1 Timothy 5:14, house ruler, house manager. That's who the wife is. Manage the home. God's will is that the wife manage the home. But in that work, there is obviously the protection element. She protects the child, her children. She provides them safety and security. She addresses those things that otherwise would bring loneliness and doubt because she is there seeing to their needs. That's her work. That's her job. That's her responsibility and that's her love that she is showing. Teaching your child God's Word helps to protect them from sin. As I already noted. See, in 2 Timothy 3:15, you might note what protects a young man from sin is, he says, your word I've laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, in 2 Timothy 3:15, we read that it was Timothy's mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, no doubt, that taught him from childhood the Holy Scriptures, because he had known them from a child. So his mother taught him. His grandmother had assisted, no doubt. And he was able to learn things that would make him wise unto salvation in Christ. A mother protects her child by teaching that child the Word of God. Teaching that child about Christ and about sin and about salvation. That's how you protect your children. It's more than physical protection. It's the spiritual protection that comes by setting examples of purity for your child. Helping to protect them, making decisions in the home and in their lives as they grow to maturity, to shield them against evil and learn about holiness. You see, in 1 Peter 3:1-4, there's a passage about a believing wife that can have that kind of an influence upon an unbelieving husband. And I do not believe that we are far off to say the same sort of thing is applicable to the mother. Because you see, it is the same woman's chaste conduct coupled with fear that brings an environment of godliness and into the home to protect her children, to provide a teaching of faith and a life of faith, to protect them, help give them the tools that they will need when they grow up to then make the decisions that they must make, and hopefully to make the right decisions to follow God. She protects her children. And children, see, now here's our responsibility. We need to honor our mothers for doing that. We need to take time to reflect and remember and be thankful and express the gratitude, express the thanksgiving of a mother who not only gave us life, but protected us in life, who fed us when we were hungry and clothed us when we were naked and cleaned us when we were dirty and cared for us when we were sick and taught us when we needed learning and corrected us when we needed correction. A mother who protected us from evil and taught us faith. See, they deserve our honor. Your mother, that mother deserves honor. And that's what God says. Here's one of the ways you do it. To such a mother that would meet and be this mother that God is, that we're talking about from God's Word, we're taught to listen to her. Here's one way you honor your mother. Listen to her. Proverbs 23. Let's turn there for a minute. Proverbs chapter 23, and let's look at 23 or 22 through 25. 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. You see, there's a responsibility that falls upon us as children to reciprocate with attitudes and words and conduct that demonstrates to our parents the honor that we have and hold for them. Listening to the father, not despising the mother when she is old. Not holding her in contempt, not seeing her as an inconvenience, but cherishing her, honoring her in that way, listening to and receiving even in the old age the instruction that is godly and good and right and consistent with God's Word. Proverbs 19, 26 and 27. Proverbs 19 and 26. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. There are some children who will not listen to their mother and father. In fact, chase them away. He says if you chase away your mother, then that's a shameful thing. It brings reproach upon you. And so again, I'm speaking now to children to understand that to give ear and heed and honor and respect to your mother. Don't be among those who bring shame upon themselves for the way they mistreat their mothers. That's a shameful thing. It's a sin against God. It's a sin against God not to honor your parents as God wants you to. Now, Proverbs 30 and verse 17, just as it's a sin for a mother not to protect her child as she ought to do it, God expects us as children to honor our mother. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. Look what this says. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother. The ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Now that's a pretty graphic picture there, isn't it? It says the ravens will come and pick your eyes out. The young eagles will eat your eyeballs if you choose to mock your father and scorn obedience to your mother. Now, let's take that as a warning and as instruction for us as children. Let's give remember to obey your parents, children. Obey your mother. She's trying to protect you, trying to help guide you, help instruct you to grow into faith and a maturity that honors God and obeys God. Don't hold her in contempt. Give her the honor. Whether you're a young child or whether you're an adult child, your mother ought to be honored. She's given herself to a life of protecting you as God would have her to do. Mothers also pray for their children. Mothers pray for their children. Of course, faith in God is to be at the center of the life of the mother. It is a tragic thing when mothers will not hold faith in their heart and in their life because, you see, it is their children that suffer. It is the children that suffer when the mother does not live by faith, does not obey God. Proverbs 31 and verse 10 said, "Who can find a virtuous wife, a worthy woman? For her worth is far above rubies." Verse 30, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Here is the woman that has faith in her heart and in her life. This is what God expects of every woman, and this is what God wants of every mother. That, like Hannah, a woman who prayed to God. You remember the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1? She was barren. The rivalry that existed there is there was another wife. And she prayed earnestly to God, and God heard her prayer. God answered her prayer. But it didn't end there. You remember, if it's been a while since you've read about Hannah, go back and read about Hannah. She's the mother of Samuel. And you remember that Eli, the prophet, saw her praying silently, but her lips were moving, and he rebuked her as being drunk. And she said, I'm not drunk. I am praying to God that he would bless me with a child. And that the Lord would respond to that. And she had said, in fact, she had dedicated that child to God. If God would grant a son, he said, "I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." Chapter 1 and verse 11. And that happened. Chapter 1, and you drop down to verse 20. "It came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked for him from the Lord.'" The word Samuel, name Samuel, means heard by God. She had been heard. Here's a mother who trusted God, prayed to God, and was heard by God. Mothers, pray to God. God hears the prayers of the righteous mother. God responds. God answers prayer. Trust and confidence in Him. Hannah becomes an example for you. As she trusted God and as she followed God's ways as a mother. You might note as you go on in that, she told her husband, "I'm not going to go as you do annually to the worship, to sacrifice, the annual sacrifice. I'm going to stay at home until the child is weaned." Now, children were weaned later ages than we would think normally in our time. She was going to stay as that child is growing, beginning to learn about God. She's going to teach him. She's going to instruct him. That becomes evident because when she does bring him to Eli, and there he remains to serve the priest, he is a young man who has been taught about following God. She was praying and she lived that prayer, fully trusting God. Manoah, the father of Samson, along with the mother, ask that God might send again His messenger and teach them how they should rear their child. The prayers of the mother are about the well-being of the child. Pray for your children. And children, you need to know that your mother prays for you. Your mother talks to God about you. She loves you. She has your interest in her heart, and she knows it is God that she must rely upon and that she will rely upon as she serves you and loves you as her mother. Look, children, we need to be wise and obedient to our mothers. We need it to be the answers to our mothers' prayers. You see, we need to be the children, you need to be the child that understands that your mother prays for you and you want to be an answer to her prayer, not an obstacle, not a resistance, not a hindrance. Proverbs 17 and 25 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." The bitterness of heart that cannot be expressed in the heart of a mother whose son rejects the training, rejects the teaching. It's a bitter pill. It's bitterness. Don't be the one who brings bitterness into the life of your mother, but rather bring joy to your mother by the choices you make to honor her in your life. Go up to chapter 15 and verse 20. Proverbs 15:20 says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." A fellow says, "I don't despise my mother." Well, are you living as your mother taught you to live, to follow God, to do His will, to put Him first, to be a man of faith or a woman of faith? And you say, "Well, no, I'm not doing that." That's God's point. As children who are taught the way of God by our mother, and then we choose to reject God, we bring reproach, we bring bitterness to the heart of our mother. And might I say, again, a mother who would spurn God brings bitterness to the heart of the child. And it ought not be so. God has taught us the right way, the better way. A mother prepares her children too. There is no influence so powerful as that of a mother. No influence is more powerful. She prepares her children for many things. She prepares her children for life, for love, for faith. I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We might think sometimes that, well, she had it easy. I mean, as a mother, I mean, her son was the son of God. I mean, what did she have to do? She had to do everything as a mother. She had to love her son, teach her son, train her son, in all the ways a mother will and would. And she did that. She contributed to his spiritual growth, his strength and wisdom. Mary was a part of that. Because see, he was fully human as well as being fully God. And she contributed to that. And mothers, you contribute to that for your children. Think of all the Bible mothers who help prepare their children. Not only Mary, as we mentioned a moment ago, Hannah, we've already made a point about that, Eunice and Lois, Timothy's mother and grandmother. They all help prepare another generation to fear God. Jochebed, to fear God and keep His commandments. The role of a mother is much more than feeding times and changing times and school schedules and homework and all of those things. So much more than that. But embedded within that and interwoven in all of that, in getting them to ball games and all of those sorts of things as they get bigger, and interwoven in all of that is the mother's instruction of fairness, kindness, dependability, responsibility, teamwork, love for God, obeying God, putting God first. All of those things are part of it as a mother that has to do with preparing your child for the time when your child is no longer under your roof. You're no longer the manager, so to speak. And so use the time that you have. And again, children, accept your mother's preparations. Don't be an obstinate child that fights and fusses and refuses. Proverbs 1:8-9 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a gracious ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Children, your mother is trying to prepare you for life, life with God, a life of eternity with God, to live your life now so that you can live with God forever. So put her instructions around your neck. Wear them close. Listen to them carefully. As noted with Mary, go back to Luke 2:51-52 in Jesus as He grew up. It says, "He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But His mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." I'm firmly convinced that Mary played a part in His increase. She was a godly woman, a woman that God chose to be with His Son to adulthood, from infancy to adulthood, and to bring such preparations to His life that set a pattern for and an example for mothers even today to help prepare your child and children to honor your mothers the way Jesus honored His mother. Jesus honored His mother when He's hanging on the cross. He honored her by saying, "John, behold your mother. Behold your son." He cared for her and saw to her protection and keeping when He, as the eldest son, would no longer be there. You see, His honoring of His mother is a worthy example for every son and daughter to remember. We owe our mothers a great debt. Mothers who have reared us in faith, taught us truth, protected us, prayed for us, prepared us for life. Don't rob your mother of the honor that she is due, whether it's Mother's Day or 364 days of the rest of the year. Do not rob your mother of the honor that she is due from you, her daughter or her son. Proverbs 28:24. Because you see, if you still have your mother, one day you won't. And if you don't have your mother, you likely wish you just had one more day at least with her. So use the time you have wisely now. Proverbs 28:24 says, "Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, 'It is no transgression,' the same is a companion to a destroyer." God gives no quarter to the person who dishonors his mother or father. He says that one who would have such a disregard and rob his parents is a destroyer. Chapter 30 and verse 11 says, "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother." What a sad, sad commentary on a generation of people who will not take time, will not honor their mother, will not bless its mother, but hold her and father in contempt and cursing. That does not escape God's notice. Honor your mother by being true to God. Remember, we started remembering that motherhood is from God. When we choose to honor our mothers, we are choosing to honor God who gave our mothers to us. And the same is true if we choose to dishonor them by lives of sin and disrespect, we're disrespecting God. So be wise. It is the fool that despises his mother. Again, Proverbs 15 and verse 20. I think we looked at it earlier. We'll close with that particular verse. Proverbs 15 and verse 20. A wise man makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Don't be a fool. Be wise. Use today to tell your mother you love her, to thank her, to honor her. Mothers, cherish your moments as a mother. Use them wisely. Prepare your children for righteousness. Pray for your children every day. Protect your children as God would have you do as a godly woman. And another generation will arise that will bless its mother, that will honor its father, that will honor God. That's our intent. That's our aim. That's our goal. We appreciate the study of God's Word together. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to understand and know that the best way that you can honor your Heavenly Father is to put your faith in Him today. Repent of your sin against Him. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. He will add you to the body of redeemed, His church, and bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Brother or sister in Christ, if there's sin in your life, then we urge you to repent of it. Remove it as you change your heart in prayer, asking God to forgive. He will do that, and we're ready to pray with you about that, to use this opportunity to set those things right. We urge you to come while we stand and sing.